Kumlen and Ablak Gemara were Masechta Me'ilah, Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. That's today's blot. So we were talking about the laws of Me'ilah, that you have to benefit the value of a pruta. And it depends what it is. If it's something that normally deteriorates, then you have to have benefit and cause a deterioration of a pruta. If it's something that doesn't deteriorate, for example, it's not clothes when you wear, you deteriorate. So if you deteriorate and have pleasure, value a pruta. Then you have a milu, which is something that doesn't deteriorate. You're using a golden becher from that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So then, if you have pleasure of a pruta, even like, for example, you wanted to rent it because you are a pruta or a necklace. Okay, so that's one kind of milu. There's another kind of milu is where you're changing the domain, where, for example, the gabbai gives it over to somebody else. So amamar, we learn. So there's two kinds of milu. Amamar, we learned nefesh. It says in pasuk, if a person steals, it says nefesh, a person. Echad yochvei anasi. It doesn't matter who that person is, whether you're individual, whether you're a leader, but echad hamashuach, whether you're anointed kohen, the mashma all included. Sheyochel, I would have thought my. What would I have thought? Pshita nefesh ksibu. We're in Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. What page are we on? 19. 19A1. So we're talking about stealing from the Beis HaMikdash, and we say there's two kinds of stealings. One kind of stealing is where you leave it, if the gabbai of Hegdish uses it for himself, it still leaves it in the domain of Hegdish, but if you have Hano of a Pruta, you have to pay. Merely a stealing. Or the other one is if you just switch the Rishus, you give it to somebody else, a stranger, and you say, here, use it. Then as soon as you give it to that person, you're already moil, even though you didn't have any anor, because you changed the domain from Hegdish to Nath. So you said before that anybody steals. It could be the rabbi, it could be the chief rabbi, it could be the Kohen Gadol. If he steals, they're liable. So the Gemara Pshita, why would you think otherwise? Why would a Rav or why would a Nasi be any different? Says the Gemara, Mauti, I would have thought, Omer Rachmana, the Torah says, Va'asha yitein mimenu alzor, if a person uses the oil from the Beis HaMikdash and he places it on a stranger, so I would have thought that when are you considered stealing from Hegdish only if it's a stranger? V'hai lav zoru, if the guy is a Kohen Gadol, he's not a stranger, the imshecha begaveh, he was anointed with the oil, kamash malon, comes to teach you that no. Okay, but Akshay Rachmana, so now, how do we know the laws of Me'ila? We learn from three different places. Akshay Rachmana L'Saita, we find the word Me'ila by a Saita. If a woman deviates, betrays her husband and commits adultery, we find there the word Mol. But over there, she had pleasure from the Aveira if she did it, but she didn't deteriorate anyway. She's already a married woman anyway. Then you have Avodas Kochavim. If somebody goes ahead, they left Hashem and they followed idols, it's called Osa Me'ila. And then we also have Truma. We learn from Truma, from the word Chet Chet. L'Saita, what do we learn from Saita? The Afagav did like Pogam, even though it didn't lose any value because she was already a married woman anyway. She wasn't a Psula virgin. And even though it didn't lose any value, as long as you had pleasure of a Pruta, you're Mayon. Gabi Hegdish Nami, the same thing by Hegdish. For example, Nosna Tabaz Beyoda, the ring or the necklace belonged to Hegdish, and you use it to give it to your daughter. Or you took it for yourself and you placed it on hand. In these cases over here, even though it didn't deteriorate, but you had pleasure, so you're ganav. Molo, you're moyo. Ki aksha rachmanu chavnin. So why did the Torah compare it to Avodah Zarah? In the case of Avodah Zarah, they left Hashem and they joined an idol. So there they completely changed ownership. The ad is beishini. But there's no pleasure. If you change ownership, we don't care if there's pleasure or not. Right away is Mila. Gabi Hegdish Nami, by Hegdish too, Adibika Bekardum, let's say you use an axe. Let's say you use an axe to chop wood, so until you chop the wood, the Yivgim. So when it comes to the axe, when is it considered liable? Only if it deteriorates. Since an axe over time deteriorates, every time you chop wood, it gets another crack, you have to deteriorate the value of a tefach. Akshirachmanu truma. We compare to truma, ma truma, just like by truma. Ki yoichol, if you eat, if a person goes ahead to a kohen and takes his truma and eats it, he has to pay it back plus a penalty. When? Only if he eats it and enjoys it. Prat lemazik, but if he damages the truma of a kohen, you have to reimburse him, but you don't pay the penalty. It's gabe hegdish na miso to be hegdish called devar achila. When it comes to things that should be eaten, ki mazikle, if you take food from hegdish, you don't eat it and enjoy it. You destroy it, potter. Potter. You potter either according to some from the penalty, others say you potter completely. Because by hegdish, there's no laws of damage. Okay, then the Mishnah, the next part, the next to that, the Mishnah gives an example where you're enjoying something, you don't cause any loss, and if you enjoy it, the value of a putter. For example, a necklace. Keita, nosna, katla, you take a necklace. And a gold necklace, it doesn't deteriorate over time, but you enjoyed it. Says the Gemara, V'dahava lav bar if gumuhu. Gold is not something that deteriorates over time. Even gold over time loses its luster. Exactly, loses the color. But dahava, the kal se de nun, for example, the gold that belonged to the daughter-in-law of Nun. Nun was the name of a person, like Yeshua ben Nun is the name of a person. Leheicha ozel, she had gold and she used to, and it deteriorated. And on Malay, he said, that's no proof. Dilma, the Hava, the Ramyan, Kalosechu. Maybe she treated the gold just like your daughter-in-law. Your daughter-in-law, you gave her everything she wanted, and she used to throw everything on the ground, her sheitlach and her clothes. She didn't take care of it. So maybe Nun's daughter did not take care of the gold. That's what deteriorated. But if it took care of the gold, it wouldn't deteriorate. Boy, true. And another answer is, let's say I'll grant you gold over time deteriorates, but it takes a very long time. True, you're enjoying the necklace and it's not deteriorating straight away. But gold over time definitely deteriorates. Then the Mishnah said, Hanene mina chattas, if you enjoyed a carbon chattas. Says the Mishnah, if you enjoyed a carbon chattas, you have to pay if you had the benefit of a pruta. If you had the benefit of a pruta. Says the Gemara, Mechdi, what are we talking about? Let's look at this. Is it a whole animal without any blemishes? An animal that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash will go on his bech. Does it matter if the animal is worth $100 or $50? It'll still go on his bech. So you're not affecting, there's no pagam, you're not affecting the Beis Hamikdash. So what are you stealing here? It's the same law as a cup of gold, which is that you have to pay according to the pleasure. There's no deterioration, because who cares about deterioration? And yet the Mishnah says by a karma chattas, if there's deterioration of a tefach, has a blemish. What happens to a karma chattas that has a blemish? A karma chattas that has a blemish will not be brought on the mizbech. So what do they do with it? They sell it. If they sell it, there's a big difference if the animal's worth $100 or worth $50. So therefore, in that case, if you're having pleasure and you're causing it a loss, that's when you pay hegdish. Next page, or 19b. Says the Mishnah, what happens if nehen kibachatzi pruta? What happens? You had pleasure of a half a pruta and upogam kibachatzi pruta. And you also... You enjoyed, let's say, you wore a shirt from Hegdish. You enjoyed you a half a pruta worth, you wore it for an hour. And then you ruined it. You just caught deterioration without any pleasure. Another half a pruta. Or you enjoyed something for an hour. That should have been ruined, but it wasn't. But you did ruin another thing. You know, we learned that when you have hanah, stealing Hegdish, it has to be, if something deteriorates, you have to have pleasure and let it deteriorate from the same thing. Here, you enjoyed one thing, and the deterioration something else. What happens then? Lemo, you're not a moil at all. Both have been the same thing. A moil, acha moil b'mikdashi. When it comes to hegdish, once somebody stole it, and it's no longer hegdish, it's ordinary stuff now. If another person comes and uses it, they're no longer stealing. Because once you stole it once, you can't steal it a second time. Because it's no longer hegdish, it's now chulim. However, Ella Behema, but if you use an animal, let's say, of the Beis Hamikdash, which is what? It itself is holy, it's Kedushas Aguf. And even if you ride the animal, and even if you weaken it, it's still going to go on the Mizbeach. Because we don't care how lean or how fat it is, it still goes on the Mizbeach. So therefore, you wouldn't pogam it. So it's still holy. So therefore, if 10 people ride on an animal that's supposed to go to the Beis Hamikdash, Mizbeach, all liable, because each person did not take it out of the mizbech and make it mundane. Only an animal is no meal of shame. A clay shard. If you use the same cup of hegdish, 10 people, it doesn't deteriorate in value. It doesn't matter because the clay shard is hegdish, and therefore, no, there's no stealing after stealing. Kate, for example, maybe you wrote on an animal. You wrote an animal. Your friend came along. Another friend came along. They all stole because it doesn't matter. You weaken the animal; it still goes on his bech. What about Shasa? Because Shazov, he drank a golden goblet. Another person came along and drank. Another person came along and drank. Kula and Molu, they all stole. Again, why? Because it doesn't deteriorate. And the thing itself is holy, so it's always holy. What about Tolash Min Hachatas? What about if you, let's say, pulled hair off from a carbon chatas? Let's say an animal has a lot of wool on it. It's worth $100. You pull out some of the wool, it's worth less. But this animal was supposed to go on the Mizbech. Then it doesn't matter if the animal's worth less. It's still going to go on the Mizbech. So did you cause any damage to the base of Midrash? No. So there's no stealing. Rebbe says, No. Let's say a sheep. You share the wool off the sheep. So a wool with sheep is worth $100. Sheep with wool is worth $100. If you take all the wool off, it's worth $50, right? Did you cause a damage to the Beis HaMikdash? In this case, no. You know why? Because what's the Beis HaMikdash going to do with the sheep? They're going to shecht it and put it in Mizbech. Does it make a difference what the value of the animal is? No. Yeah, so you didn't steal from that. You didn't steal from Hashem. Meal is only if you steal from Hashem. They don't get it till after you finish the whole job. And then which coin is going to demand the money? Because each coin will come to you and say, it's mine. He'll say, maybe I was going to give it to the other coin. So there's no one there. Rebbe, however, says, Kol Dovish Ein Lepagam, any animal that cannot be redeemed, let's say carbon cannot be redeemed, Yesh Boi Moil Acha Moil, let's say like this animal is Gongel Mizbech, or the clay sharis. They themselves are holy. See, the Hegdish has no right to sell it. It always remains holy. So no matter how many people use it, each one of them is stealing from Hegdish. The Gemara is already going to ask. So Rebbe is saying the same thing as the first opinion. We'll soon see. Says the Gemara, Mani Masis, and who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Chemi. Time we learned, a moyel acha moyel el behem uvad. The first opinion says that the whole, that no matter how many people use it, it still belongs to the base of Hegdish, is only limited to the case of an animal. Nothing else. And whether it's an animal, behemoth, or whether it's clay shadus, whether it's one of the goblets, one of the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, they are intrinsically holy. And because they're holy, no matter how many people use it, it's still holy. And therefore, and Hegdish doesn't really care the value, they're just using it for whatever its purpose is. So therefore, each one is stealing. Each one is using something from Hegdish. As long as they benefited the value of a putter, they're liable. My time with the Tanakhama, what's the swear of the Tanakhama? Somebody holds Binyana the Behemoth Ksiv. It says the whole idea of Me'ila that there's a second Me'ila is written by Behemoth, and therefore it's limited to Behemoth Ksiv. It says Be'ela Oshem, and the Torah repeats again the ram, the Oshem that you have to pay, and it's talking about an animal. Tell you the stealing a second time only by an animal. I have a Kavachemah. Anything you put inside a vessel that belongs to the base of Mikdash becomes holy. So who Atzmi L'Kolshkin, doesn't it itself always remain holy? So no matter how many people use it, it remains holy. If it has a power to make ordinary things holy, surely it has a power to retain its holiness. And therefore, this Moel Achama. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Yehme, Kol Dovah Shein L'Pidin Yeshvah, Hayna Tanakama isn't the same view of Tanakama. He's saying the same thing. That anything which remains holy, no matter how many people use it, they're stealing from the Beis HaMikdash, as long as they had the value of a pruta. So what's going on here? Says the Gemara, Rava says, Ika Benayah, the difference is Eitzim. If somebody donates wood, what do you mean you donate wood? We had already before, Tanakama, we learned. Normally we always learn you donate to the Beis HaMikdash either an animal, or wine for Yayin Zachim, or flower offering. Comes along Rebbe and says you can donate wood to the base of Mikdash and you can make eitzim called a carbon eitzim. You can make a carbon out of wood. And he says, I take upon myself to bring wood to the base of Mikdash. The minimum is 2 pieces of wood. So they learn it's not a carbon, you just put them as bech to burn. However, Rebbe says, no, eitzim carbon. And if I made a promise that I'm going to bring wood donated to the bech, I'm meant as a carbon, which means, like every carbon requires salt, you need to salt the wood. You have to wave it like any carbon. And Omar Rav and Rav said, "Divi Rebbe, eitzim. You can't just light this wood and burn it as bech. This is a carbon, and every carbon needs other wood." And Omar Rav said, "Divi Rebbe, eitzim chimitza. And just like when you bring a flower offering, you have to take a piece off and put it on the bech. The wood also take a piece off and put it as bech. So therefore, that's the machlekes regarding wood. Rebbe holds that by wood also, there's no." There's no mila chamila. We don't care about the value of the wood because he's just putting on his bayach. And the chamis say, no, we don't. Wood is not a carbon, therefore there's no mila there. Says he, no, the corn, the Rebbe, it's a carbon. And if it's a carbon, and therefore it itself is intrinsically holy. So no matter how many people use it, each one is a mile. As long as no matter how many people, it can never get, who cares the value of the wood? Okay, you used it, it's worth less. It's going to go on his back, it's a carbon. So no matter how many people use it, if they use the value of a prutta, they are liable. Like, for example, he sat on it, used it as a chair. Oh, how much would you rent a chair for? Okay, you have to then pay. If it's worth a prutta, you have to pay. But according to the Bar, it's not a carbon. What is it? It is donated to the Beis HaMikdash to sell it and make money with it. And therefore, it's something that loses value. If Beis HaMikdash can sell it, if it's worth $100 or $50, a big loss. So the first person who used it caused a loss, and that's it. It's no longer... The second one's not my only one. Says the Gemara... Rapapa Rambam says, Kotche Mizbeach Tmimin V'nasubam. I'll give you another difference. What about an ordinary carbon? And then it got a mum. But now, what happens to a carbon that has a mum? You put it aside, you sell it. But what you did here was you went and shechted when you shouldn't have. Ike benayim. That will be the difference. And what happened was, the Rebbe said, what happens then? The Tanya could be learned in the Braisa, Kochim is Be'ach Tamim. Let's say an animal was whole, unblemished. And you set it aside to be a carbon. And then Venasa Balamumin suddenly had a blemish, which means he can no longer be brought to Mizbeach. What he's supposed to do, he's supposed to sell it and with the money buy another carbon. But instead, he went, and he went and shechted. Rebbe, I'm a Rebbe, says, you cover, you should bury it. Why should you bury it? Because he says every animal has to be able to stand and be assessed the value before you sell it. But a dead animal, you can't have it standing. Therefore, you can never sell it. If you can never sell it, there's no loss to Hegdish, no matter how much it is. So therefore, you have to bury it. And therefore, if one person, another person, no matter how many people use it, each one has to pay. However, Chum say, once an animal is dead, you don't have to anymore have it standing on its feet to assess it. So therefore, Hegdish can sell it. If Hegdish can sell it, there's a big difference to Hegdish whether it's worth $100 or $50. So the first person who used it and ruined it stole from Hegdish, and all the other people didn't. Mishnah, on the bottom of the page, Mishnah. Notal Evan, you took a stone from Hegdish, a keter or a beam shel Hegdish, and you used it. Hareze loymal, that's not called stealing. Because if the gabbai, the bailiff of Hegdish, used it himself, he didn't steal. He didn't really cause any loss. And it's still in the domain of Hegdish. If you gave it to your friend, what you did was you took it out of the shus of Hegdish and you gave it to an ordinary person. So then that's called stealing. But who's liable? The one who received it, the one who gave it? Humo, the chaveri loymal. The one who gave it is liable, not the one who received it. If you built a stone inside your house, you're not considered stealing just because you built it in the house. You benefit from it. The fact that you put it in your house is not called a change. We'll soon see the Gemara, why not? But if you had pleasure, for example, there's a hole in your roof and you blocked your roof with this stone, so now when it rains or the sun doesn't shine in, so you benefit from it. So then you live on a pruta. What about not a pruta shel Hegdish? You took a pruta of Hegdish. If you took a prut of Hegdish, you're not moil. If you took a prut from Hegdish, you're not moil. Why? Again, you're the gabbai. So just because you took the prut in your hand doesn't change, because whatever you do, you're working for Hegdish. But nostal lechaveda, the moment you gave it to your friend, he's no longer part of Hegdish. Humal lechaveda lemal. You're the one who's stealing and not your friend. What about Nosno Lebalon? You took a coin from Hegdish, you gave it to a cleaner, let's say the cleaner, the guy who owns a bathhouse, and you gave it to him. Now, usually we say you have to enjoy it, so you know you have to go into the bath. Let's say he didn't, you just gave it to him. Even though he didn't use the bathhouse, Maul you stole. Why? As soon as you gave him the coin, the guy says, now you have a right to use it. Take a towel, go in. The moment he says that, go in. You're ready. So you gave him the money. He was koine by taking the money, Mashiach. So therefore, you changed the reshus from Hegdish to an ordinary person, and that's stealing. What about achilas chaveda? You took a pruta from Hegdish, but you didn't eat it all on your own. You gave part of it to your friend. Do we combine the two and say if the two are worth a pruta, you're liable hanos and as chaveda? You enjoyed and your friend enjoyed together, or achilas you ate vahanos chaveda and your friend just enjoyed hanos? So you had pleasure vachilas chaveda and your friend ate it. Mitzdarifin, they combine. I feel even though you ate it today and your friend ate it in a week from now, They combine to be a prutah, and then you're liable. Liable means you got to bring, not only pay it back, you got to pay an extra quarter, and you got to bring a carbon asham me'ilis. Says, yes. If the shul, no, we're talking about you took the stone that was belonged to the Beis Hamikdash, and I took it home to my house, and I put it in the skylight. There was a hole there. I put it to block. So just putting it there alone is not yet called a ganav. I didn't do anything. But the moment I sit underneath it and I'm enjoying it, because then I'm pleasure. Once I enjoy it, putting it alone is not enough. It's putting it and then I sit underneath it, so it blocks the sun. Exactly. From something that belongs to Hashem. Now the question is, by putting it there, didn't you have to chisel it out and you already made a change? Says the Gemara, first of all, the Gemara says, why is the Mishnah start of saying that if you use it, you're not a ganav? If you gave it to your friend, it's a ganav. What's the difference, you or your friend? Says the Gemara Mishmul, begizber hamesoidus. We're talking about a gabbai that he was given control. They gave it to the gabbai to watch. So if he uses it himself, he shouldn't. It's not so bad. If the moment he gave it to somebody else, he took it out of the reshus of the hegdish and gave. That's called mila stealing. That's right. Bottom of the chayv, you build it in your house in a libble. Why do you have to wait until he sits underneath it? Kivin the shanya mol. As soon as he changed it from hegdish media, put it in his roof. He's already stealing. Amar Rav, you're going, shenicha al peru. You placed it, you had a hole in your window, you had a skylight, and you placed it there, and you didn't do anything to the stone. You didn't chisel it out or square it off. You just put it down, plonked it down. The kivin the bonila mias mol. Says the Gemara, okay, so you didn't do anything to the stone. But now that it became part of your building, isn't that alone already something? You already stole it. So but yet you're telling me that even though you're enjoying it, and even though it's part of the building, you're moil. We had before a rule that there's no me'ila if some by a tree, if it's growing from the ground, there's no me'ila but something attached to the ground, something mechuba l'karka. So if you took a stone and made it part of your house, so now the stone is part of your house. So now it's attached to the ground. It's a permanent building. Why are you stealing, even if I sat underneath it? So lema, this proves an interesting concept. What about something that was originally detached, a stone, and then you put it in your house, and now it became attached? Do we look at it as now, and therefore it's attached, it's part of, and therefore it cannot become tamei, there's no stealing? Or do we say, but look at its origins, it started out as being detached, it's considered a detached stone? So let us prove from here the fact that you tell me the stone becomes part of your house, and yet you consider stealing misayel as a proof to Rav. The Rav hamishtach velabayis. If you bow down to a house, if you bow down to a mountain, the mountain will not become avodah zarah. But if you bow down to a house, usher is forbidden. And why? Why is it forbidden? Because the bricks were all separate, and you put it together. So we look at the origins. We don't look at it right now. Araif my mishnah. Maybe it's really part of the house. Maybe it's really attached. You know the problem is, the fact that everybody can see the stone, even though it's part of the house, because everybody can recognize the stone from Beis Hamikdash. Therefore, it's as if you're staying from Beis Hamikdash. Second, but Leim says, I'll prove it to you. If you live in the house from the Hegdish, Kivan Shinehendami Men, and Moses says, right here. You lived in the house of Hegdish, and you had another, the whole house belonged to Hegdish, and you benefited, you are considered stealing. Why? Luchayrat Mechubar is attached. Is that Ayah? We don't look at it as current status, we look at it in its original form. What was the original form? A bunch of detached stones. And a bunch of detached stones, you put it on the Mizbeach, he built it something, we look at its origins, and it's, or no. You look at it the way it's right now, but because it's recognizable, the rocks are all big boulders and they're recognizable, it's pasnish that you should use it. It looks like it's stealing, and therefore the Torah asked it as well. Omer Shlokish says, no proof. I can argue a different reason altogether. Maybe they're talking about the rocks were all lying on the ground, you made each one holy, and then you built your house. That's why it's forbidden. But if you would have taken the rocks, built your house, and then made it hegdish, maybe it would be considered attached. Could we look at it the way it's right now? Right now, when did you make it holy? When it was attached. It was an attached building. It cannot become kosher. Then, in that case, there's no stealing if you use it. If you made it holy when it was detached and then you build a house out of it, it doesn't lose its kedusha. It was already detached, and that's the status that it has, because you made it holy and the state when it was detached. But if you made it holy when it's attached, it's considered an attached house, and there's no mila. Nothing to do with the fact that because you're recognizable. Hossam b'shikdib say banu. You made a hegdish first, now you built it. I have a bonus of him. I want to ask, what about bonus? Let's say you built the house first and then you made it holy. my loy mol. That's not, you're not stealing, because we look at it right now, and right now it's an attached house that you made holy. Is my yiria roy yir v'toni? Why does the brayse continue flowing? Hador b'bayis shlemayim. If you live in a house that's in a cave, which is one big stone, loy mol. There's no stealing because it's attached. Why don't you talk about a normal house and say like this? Lema hador b'bayis shlavonim shabayis hekdesh. If you live in a house of stones, at first you built it and then you made it holy. So by the time you made it holy, it was attached to the ground. It used no stealing. But if you made it holy first, then there is stealing. Make that difference. Sorry? Every house, every house is called mechuba lekarka. It's attached to the ground. And there's no law, there's no stealing by mechuba lekarka. We live in Truma. There's no stealing if it's attached to the ground. Comes along Shlok Jesus says, it depends, but a house is made out of stones. Each stone was detached. So the Shloki says, it's not a question of looking at the origins that we're looking right now. It's not because it's recognizable. It depends when you made it holy. If you made it holy when it was detached, we treat it like a detached house. And if you steal it, you're using your own benefit, you're a ganav. But if you made it holy after you built the house, it was already attached to the ground. Then it's considered an attached house, and then there's no stealing anymore. So that's the Gemara asked, why doesn't the Braisa just make that difference? Instead of talking about a house versus a cave, talk about a house depending when you made it holy. Says you want Amri, we answer hapsikale halapsikale. In a cave, it's absolute. In all cases by a cave, it's always attached. It's un out of a rock, and therefore there's no stealing whatsoever. In a house, you're gonna have to go into specifics. It depends when you made the rocks holy. You made the rocks holy first. You made the house holy first, and then every Bryce submission likes to be as brief as possible. You know, brevity is the most important thing, and therefore it talks about generalities, and it's better to talk about cases without having to go into specifics. So talk about a cave. But you'll get the picture. Once you understand the cave, you'll understand by your house also. If the house was first built and you made holy, is different. We're going to try to learn Yom Kippur before. We're not going to learn Yom Kippur.